budget, they're relying upon property tax proceeds. And so maybe perhaps we should start this meeting with Scott or Greg, or whatever his name is.
He's welcome, whatever.
Providing us an overview. And Mayor, how much time does Mr. Langdon have to make his presentation?
We do have some time constraints, but Greg, I think you can work within your time frame. Just give us an overview.
Okay. Yeah,
thank you.
And if you're upset about your taxes, yeah, call Greg.
Can we tell him that Scott sent us?
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh,
I just got a couple PowerPoint slides that I think kind of hopefully help explain. Please throw out all the questions you guys have. I'll address whatever questions.
I have to go out today. I forgot my glasses.
Pretty much what it's all about, and that's the reason I put the property tax bill up there, and this means a lot to both the taxing district and the individual constituent of the taxing district. Because it's basically bottom line, how much do I pay? So like on this one, you can see today the fine, it's $192. Now, there's a lot of stuff that goes in behind that to come up with that tax amount. And when you couple the volatility that we've seen, especially in the real estate market in Central Oregon, with our rather complex and bizarre property tax system, you get some interesting results, and it makes forecasting incredibly difficult, if not impossible, especially given the scenario we're under right now, which I find kind of unfortunate because a property tax bill really represents what the citizens of an individual area decided at some point in time or through vote that they wanted services and at what level they wanted the services. And the property tax bill is a reflection of that. So you've got your annotation, your city, the special districts, and it's all spelled out there. With the way the property tax system works now, though, you're budgeting now, and I have no physical way to know, other than forecasting, what your tax revenues will be until October, which is way too late for what you guys need for this point. So I try to do my best on getting out, educating budget committees, citizens, give you the tools so then you can, you know, I won't give you a number, but I'll give you a range and some ideas, and then you guys can kind of pick what you want to do as far as anticipated changes in your revenue based on that. Let's see. Part of the difficulties are here. Prior to 1997, that's when we made the last major change in property tax, 50, which is a constitutional amendment. Same rules here as there, Lakeview or downtown Portland. Your assessed value was your real market value. So whatever your property would sell for, we would put that would be your assessed value. And then the districts would have a dollar amount each year that they could, a maximum that they could impose. And that dollar amount could increase by nearly 6% without voter approval. So it really didn't matter what the values did as far as taxing districts, because if the values doubled, the rating went half. The values went in half, the rating doubled. But you guys would get your last year's budget plus 6%, if that's what you so chose. But there was a big unknown and uncertainty for property tax owners. So then with Measure 50, what it is they said, hey, we want to cap that. That's where your permanent rate came in. And of course, you guys were a new district since then, but it's the same set of rules. The voters approved a rate. That rate's then applied to the assessed value. So this is just an account, a sample account, where you have the real market value and then the maximum assessed value, or the Measure 50 value. The assessed value is lower of those two numbers, and that's the number we apply your tax rate to. So back in 1997, I think the common understanding was, or at least thought process was, real estate only appreciates, right? So it really didn't matter what your real market did. you were capped at this lower line, and it went up 3% annually, and we applied the tax rate, city rate, to the value that was 3% higher each year, so your taxes went up 3%. Didn't matter if the value doubled, tripled, quadrupled, we saw a lot of that. Well, lo and behold, real estate doesn't always appreciate. And we really saw that in Central Oregon. And that's where we saw the huge drop in the market. And with the drop in the market, the line intersected on a lot of accounts. You're taxed at the lower of the two. So then we actually saw people's taxes go down. Their assessed value went down, their taxes went down, the revenue to the districts went down. And but this is on an account by account basis. Not all properties, almost all of them dropped. But the lines are independent of each other. And if you graph your account or I graph mine, it's gonna, everybody's going to look different. Currently, you have about 58% of your accounts that are on the market value. It's lower than that 95 value that's growing at 3%. So it creates a lot of volatility. What is the market doing? Market goes down, your assessed value is going to go down. Market goes up, your assessed value is going to go up. So, you know, that predictability and, you know, the uncertainty we had before, we built in predictability until the market intersected. And that's over half the accounts now. So what is the market going to do? Last couple years, it's been, you know, still going down. We look like we've turned that corner. Things are looking more positive now than they have for a while. But what is the impact of that to a district and a taxpayer? This, you know, and like I say, these lines are independent of each other. So you've got the real market value and measure 50 maximum assessed. So I'll walk you through this example kind of quick, where you had a market value of 375, a maximum assessed 296. 296 is the lower, that's what we applied tax rate to. That was your assessed value. Next year, market comes down a little bit. Maximum assessed grew at 3%. You're taxed at the lower of the two, which happens to be a 305 or a 3% increase. And that's what we saw for the first, you know, 10 plus years of measure 50. Then the market drops 23%. So it goes from 350 to 270. Well, this grew at 3%. So now, instead of the blue line, that 3% line being the taxable assessed value, 270 is lower. So the market dropped 23% in this case, but the assessed value went from 305 to 270, or 11.5% decrease. So as long as there was no new voter-approved measures on that property here, their taxes went down 1.5% because their assessed value did. That also means we imposed 11.5% less tax for the city of La Pine. Now we're in this scenario where, and like I say, 58% of your accounts are like this. Every account is going to look different. And if you're curious on how your account looks, too, you can actually go into our website, the assessor's home page, and we've added this graph on each and every account. So if you're wondering how it impacts you, you can go see the graph just like this. So then the market comes back a little bit, let's say. Goes 275. Well, it's still lower than 314. So the taxable assessed value went about 2% that year. And this maximum assessed value, actually, it's 100% of last year, 103% of last year's assessed value, or last year's maximum assessed value, whichever is greater, becomes the next year's maximum assessed value. So in essence, what that means, as long as there's more than 3% gap between those lines, when the market value is below, it'll freeze the maximum assessed value, or won't grow. But what happens when the market turns back? This property's been seeing savings. It's had less taxes to the district from it. But then the market comes back. And let's say it goes from 275 to 320. Property owner agrees, yeah, my property, because market turned, is now worth 320. Well, that's a 16.5% increase. Well, now we re-intersected that line, and the 314 now becomes taxable assessed value because you're taxed at the lower of the two. So in that 1 year, taxable assessed value went up over 14%. So as long as there was no changes to the rates, no new voter approvals, the taxes went up 1 year, 14%. Which means we applied the city of LaPine rate to a value 14% higher. So that's what makes it so difficult, and I'll put on, you know, I've kind of got dual hats here as far as taxpayer versus taxing district, but from a taxing district standpoint, what is the cumulative effect of all your properties within your jurisdiction and those changes? Well, almost 60% of the accounts have that volatility, and each one's graph is going to look different. Because like right here, let's say the gap here between these two is only 10%. Well, we still had 16% of the value, still get up to 320. It's just a blue line was lower, then you only get 10% of that. Or if it was wider, you could get the full 16. It just depends on the account. Every account's going to be different. So it makes it incredibly difficult to be able to give you an estimate on what the value was. Back here, for the vast majority of the accounts, their market was in excess of that maximum assessed. You could basically figure 3% on those properties. Actually netted out to about 2.8% because of business personal property and some other things. But we knew that the existing properties, you were going to get about 3% more, and then we'd add any new construction to that. So it was still difficult to forecast, but not nearly as difficult as it is now because of that volatility. Questions on that? So, so then when I look at the city of LaPine, we're looking at, okay, the markets seem to be coming back. And it's starting with residential. And even when the downturn hit, residential went first, and then commercial and industrial kind of lagged by a year, then they dropped. But we seem to be kind of turning the corner, at least as far as residential. And commercial seems kind of flat, but I looked at kind of the makeup of your properties comparatively, because the smaller the group, the harder it is to forecast because the variables, you know, one property can have a significant impact on that. So the city of LaPine, you guys are pretty close to being half and half as far as your value between residential and commercial, industrial, and utility properties. Where like when I look at countywide, 80% is residential. So that's quite a difference. And if I look at City of Bend or City of Redmond, they have a lot more toward the residential than the others do also. So. And with that, then I kind of wanted to see, okay, well, historic. And I know with the volatility and the variabilities and the complexities, I don't know if historic changes really are an indicator of what could happen next year.
I don't know if it's telling you time's up or not.
I guess I'm done. But if you look at the graph real quick, I compared what it historically, the changes in assessed value with LaPine compared to the county as a whole, compared to LaPine Rural Fire District. And you guys are tracking pretty close to what the county has done. You've been about a point of percent below, but the line's tracked fairly close. Of course, this year countywide, we're looking at, the, you know, there might be about a 4% increase in assessed value, where we've been seeing decreases. Countywide assessed value changes, you know, it's, we're looking at, you know, 3.5% to 5% change in assessed value. I don't know if you guys will be experiencing that same thing because you're so heavily toward your, you know, that makeup between commercial and residential. So I guess the good news is things are don't appear to be dropping like they had been. Bad news is it's really hard to be able to forecast, but when I worked with my sales data analyst, looked at what salesmen had, kind of a real 30,000 foot overview, you guys look relatively flat. So instead of losing revenue or gaining, at least all indicators look like most of that's going to be pretty flat. Now, could you have one account that dropped because of some reason? Yes. Could that skew everything? Yes. Could you have a neighborhood that kind of appreciated and excuse it the other way? And that's where we won't know until we dive into the details. But overall, it appears, at least at this point, that it's fairly flat.
Okay.
Questions or?
Well, just a comment from last year. Last year, you predicted for Lapine that our assessed valuation might go down 1 to 2%, it might remain flat or it might go up 1%. And if I hear you this year, you're saying the likelihood is it won't go down 1 or 2%. It's more likely just to be flat.
Yeah, except if I have to put, how much confidence do I have in that model, given all the variability? I don't have a lot of confidence.
Okay.
I'll be the first one to be very honest up front with that. I mean, you guys get a new, you know, and we look at new permits, and you have a little bit, not a lot, but, you know, maybe there's a big ticket item. I'm aware of it, but if there is, I could see it one way. We could have an appeal on another property that dropped it. The legislature's in session right now. They're looking at utility valuations, and right now, the state of Oregon, we value intangible value for utilities. They're probably going to exempt that. How much bearing will that have on your bottom line? Do they phase it in? You know, there's a lot of different moving parts to that. So,
any other questions?
No.
So I wish I had a, you know, I wish I had that crystal ball where I could come in and say, hey, you guys are looking at, and I think if the changes we're seeing now in the real estate market will continue into the future where we're back into more of an appreciating real estate market, you currently have, you know, 58% that are below, so it's going to be volatile for that period. But at what point most of those get back in above that 3% line, then it's going to be a lot easier to say, yeah, you guys are looking at 3% plus you've got this much new construction permitted, so you're going to be right around. And the model worked much better then. It's just there's so much variability and volatility right now.
All right.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Did you want to see that chart real quick?
Sure.
Yeah, we went through this much work this year.
Yeah, this is the last several years as far as this line is the county, where, you know, they come down, you know, about 0.5%, and then they were up about 1.5%. The RFPD, you can see they've been pretty much flat, 1%, 0.5%, flat. I mean, it came down 1%, but they were flat as far as their assessed value last year. And then you guys, even though you were still losing value, you were 98% of the year before, 96 last year, you were about 1.5% down. But you can see that kind of tracks with the county. I'm just not sure if this year it's going to really track with the county due to that makeup between industrial and residential.
Okay.
So you're projecting less, a little less this year?
About flat. Yeah, somewhere around flat, plus or minus. And that's the problem is put a confidence interval on that because of the volatility. There's pretty
and smaller the number, when you're talking $200,000 tax general fund, the central assessment stuff from Department of Revenue can actually make a bigger difference.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So if you've got $1 billion value and Department of Revenue changes something, but here, you know, they can make a $10,000 change, and for us, it's 5% of our tax budget.
Yeah, because you've got about 3.5% of your value. But all it takes is one of the industrial or commercial accounts, it's a big ticket item to change up or down, it's going to skew it.
Scott, according to tax summaries that are published on the Deschutes County website for tax assessment, I just grabbed last year's budget, and our total assessed value for 11-12 was $125,845. I mean, $845,184. Did I say that right?
Yeah, one man.
125,845,000.
And this year it's $123,715,136. So it's gone down, what, $2 million?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's where that 1.5% came in.
Right.
So it was a drop. Now, with the indicators, and this is all at a high level, it looks like you're going to be around that $123 million.
So you said residential's coming back quicker than commercial.
It appears to be right at this point, but that was also true when it started plummeting. Right. Residential went first, and then.
You know what's interesting about this, just for a food of thought, this is traditional. If you went to most cities, 80% of the value in the county is residential. If you went to probably Bend or Redmond,
it's not much different. Yeah.
Look at this. What this says, and that's why. You always tell people you have a disproportion of people compared to business. Because you, in order to get approved, you had to shrink the number of voters. You know, that's how you ended up getting it incorporated. And they needed sort of, you know, some of these other things. But if you look at that, half of this value of this city is industrial and commercial. It's why those stakeholders are important. You know, cities are generally made up of people, with a quarter of it being the other, but you're 50-50. And then those people don't live in the city, they don't get a vote, so they tend to, all these people get a vote if they're in your city. So it is a different matrix.
Yeah, that's the reason when I was looking at the numbers and I saw that, I was like, I'm gonna do a pie chart on this.
And also, if residential's the first to come back, and we're only half residential, we'll be slower coming back from a value standpoint.
But I would think this, if we were half commercial and industrial, that there's prospects for more return on assessed valuations with commercial and industrial as they evolve than a residence.
Yep.
Would that be true?
You know, hard telling, it very well could be, but you have to remember too, you're an enterprise zone. So you're going to forego that assessed value for 3 to 5 years on any of those new, or most of those new properties. So yeah, somewhere down the road.
And that's good to point out, that enterprise, we are a friend, which is sword cuts both ways. On one hand, it's certainly an attraction to get business enterprise in, but we don't capture the return for, as you point out, 3 to 5 years.
But Steve, you're on the right track to a degree of call it average small business, which is what you're going to get. They're not going to use the enterprise zone as much.
Yeah, probably.
You know, there has to be. So I think what you were thinking is that, well, you can go out and promote and bring some of that in. If we grow by some of those, where it's harder on the housing end maybe. But
yeah, and we took your advice last year. You said 1 to 2% downturn, possibly as much as one. We used your most conservative figure, and it looks like it held true, so it was good for us to rely upon your conservativeness.
I appreciate that, and you know, I wish I could pat myself on the back, because I know I can just zero right in there. I might have gotten lucky.
Okay.
So. Because it is tough. I mean, those are the tools I use, and I want to share them with you so you can make, hopefully, as educated a decision you can. But
Well, thank you very much, sir. We do appreciate you coming.
Well, good, and if you guys have any questions, individuals, or whatever, just give me a call.
All right.
And if you guys want, I've got a few of these books and this graph, which is one extra paperwork.
Sure.
I'll just leave these.
Please do, okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the time.
All right.
Scott, thank you.
We are at 2:35.
All right, thank you, Ms.
Oh, you have it.
We have two things here for you today. First, we have the budget message.
So wait a minute, what page are you, where are you looking at? I've got all kinds of stuff going on here.
Okay.
Picking up this book.
We're picking up this book here. And the first 19 or so pages is the budget message, 20 pages. And then we have any number of charts and graphs that accompany the budget message. But I'm going to speak to the budget message, and then I'll let Lori speak to the charts and graphs. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the budget message. The budget message, more than anything, is sort of like our State of the Union address. It kind of gives an accounting of all the different component parts that make up our budget. Some of it is forecast information. Some of it's just information in general. And you can read it as time allows. I wouldn't certainly have you read it now. Start with the summary. This is our bottom line. The city of Lapine's financial affairs are in good stead, as evidenced by the pictures of this budget document, and its long-term growth opportunities are tremendous. The city intends to complement its present good fortune with the institution of adequate financial controls, living within its financial means, and continuing to initiate risk management strategies that protect the public purse. Underscoring this effort is the need and a desire to ensure protection of the public trust in the Lapine city government.
Page 20.
Okay, so it's just a summary statement that says, as we go through this and we look at everything, we didn't see anything that left out that said there was something unsatisfactory. And you see that monthly in the budget reports. To the extent that we're getting revenues in, we're living within our means, and we don't have a lot of line items that are very far out of skew, and if they are, it's just generally a revenue, a matter of having adequate revenue come in timely. All right. One thing I do want to point out, to just tell you how fortunate we are to have ODOT as our friend this year. And someone said to me from ODOT that for whatever reason, fortune has shined on this community. I'd have you turn to page 17 real quick. And I just want to show you how much ODOT has been our friend this year. It's pretty unbelievable. They sponsored a transportation system plan for us. We need that for our comprehensive plan, and we also need that in order to be able to impose system development charges. And so they contributed $90,000 to us for that purpose. And then they turned around and they made $70,000 available to us through a STIP process for the City Hall improvement in front of this building. And then we entered into an agreement with them to do all the design improvement work for the grade separation, which is $3,175,000. That's on page 18. And then we turned around and we're a grant contender, and I say that I think we're going to get it, for almost $700,000 from ODOT, with a contribution on the part of the city of about 4%, $30,000. And then they came along and they gave us $40,000 to do this, what we call a road diet, where they took the five lanes and reduced it to three. And then, in cooperation with Deschutes County, it looks like they're very close to being able to fund $1.3 million for the four-way signalized intersection at First and Reed and Highway 97. So all that this year from that, from those folks, and I think the secret to Lapine's success in the near future is our ability to acquire grants from various sources, and also to maintain this wonderful relationship that we have with ODOT, because that truly is a blessing. Those are public monies that are generated statewide or from the federal government, and they're coming our way, and we're thankful for that. I wanted to point out, and we talked about this a little bit earlier in emails, starting on page one through page 7. Last year, a feature of our budgeting process was priorities. And we had 17 priorities last year. And I've tried to provide an accounting of those 17 priorities. Some of them will be completed this year by June 30th. Some of them will continue forth to next year. Some of them will, in further analysis, be determined not to be that important. Others need to be commingled into some other transformation for next year. And so I've tried to identify a status of each of the 17 and where it is and what's likely to happen to it. And then secondly, this year, as a starting point for our budget, we identified priorities, and we identified 13. And several of them have monies associated with those priorities. So I've tried to identify both financial impacts this year that will carry forward to next year, and next year's financial impacts. So you have a good accounting of the 30 priorities that we've looked at last year and this year, and where they are and what's going to happen to them. And then some recommendations about what to do with some. For example, one of the recommendations or budget items for this year, priority items, was youth. And we had two youth components. We had one for a possible BMX track, and we had another for some kind of funding of youth opportunities.
Youth employment service.
That's correct. Thank you, Mayor. We did not exercise either one of those. And so one of the, and we'll get into budget discussions and decisions here in a minute, is to take the $5,000 from the one and the $75,000 from the other and carry it forward into next year as just monies available for some sort of youth activity. All right. So that we have some handle on where all these monies are going and what's going to happen. And then also a sanity check that even though we budgeted, even though it's a priority, I think I'm looking to the budget committee to help with the budget decision making. And so on page 8 through 11, I have 26 budget decisions that need to be made.
Does that have to do with this paper here?
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
That doesn't have anything to do with these questions. Okay.
Yes, it does.
Okay. So just let me say this. These are budget decisions that staff needs answers to assure that we know what we're doing with the budget. It'd be presumptuous of us, I believe, to just say, we know the answers to all this, and this is what we've determined. On the other hand, the mayor is very correct in his assessment here most of these are finally the council's to decide. I think what I'm looking for this group, though, is to give some recommendation to the council. Now, that doesn't mean the council will necessarily follow your recommendation, but it's important that staff be instructed as how to proceed with these budget questions, all right? And so in a sense, you might view yourself at this body today just like the Public Works Committee. They make recommendations to council. Council usually follows their lead. But as the mayor points out, finally it's the council's to decide.
Not the budget committee. So we don't have anything to do with it.
Well, you do and you don't. I mean, finally you have to, let's put it this way, the council has to live within the means of what you decide. Okay.
Even though we're not supposed to decide.
Well, Renee, let me address this.
Yeah, I'm confused. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All this is the mayor's review
of
the questions.
Here.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Let me finish some. These comments on this page are the mayor's view of those questions that were asked in the book here, of the 26 questions. So what we're going to do is, in some fashion or other, in a timely manner, we're going to get to the point that we're going to start going through this. And I suggest we do it straight away.
And that would be mine, too.
Okay.
Except we've got to look at the budget.
So what I'd like to do is, I'd like to run through these very quickly, but first I think we need to appoint a chair to the budget committee, and I would entertain a motion to nominate a budget chair. For those who don't know, Bob Steffens has been the chair for the last couple of years, so.
Is he willing to continue?
I'm willing to nominate him.
I noticed he slid down in his chair.
I don't want to be above you.
I can go.
Yes, I would.
Would you?
I would accept it.
Thank you. I think that takes the pressure
off. I'll second that.
Yeah.
Been nominated and seconded. Bob Steffens be our budget chair. Any questions, comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Robert?
It's 2:48.
Okay.
How long do we have?
Until 4.
Until 4?
Right.
Do we have anything other than to go through these 24 questions?
No, we don't. But I do have comments. Two comments, just as a preface to get started. One of the reasons these are here, because Clerlach has just gone to council, is that we as a public agency want to be transparent, and we want people to know the kind of budget issues that we're wrestling with. And so it's important that people know the kinds of budget decisions that need to be made, and I thought we'd enumerate them in the budget documents. The other thing is, and I can say this out loud because in theory I'm not a politician, is the nice thing about having the budget committee make recommendations is to provide some level of political cover. Okay, it's really hard to be an elected official and make some tough budgetary decisions. I think it's easier for a broader base committee with experience like this to make recommendations that the council can rely upon and their basis for deciding. Okay, and with that, sir, then I turn it over to you.
Yes.
May I offer a clarification? That isn't all that we need to do. We need to go through the actual budget
itself. No, on my part, I'm just trying to get the budget message out of the way.
Okay. So we will run through these questions as quickly as possible, one at a time.
Are we just supposed to say yes or no?
You'll have an opportunity to comment. The first item is that the council recommends we increase our property taxes by 8 cents per $1,000. Is there any discussion about that?
I say no.
I've always been for not going to the maximum rate. As Stu knows, we have this little...
Don't even go there.
For a lot of reasons, you know. I don't see the point in assessing that just because you can. I think, you know, if there's a real need and a real justification, we should. I'm not sure that that need and justification is there, even with the thought of using it for the our portion of hiring the lead manager. And even more so now, I'm not sure that the need is there because the whole picture has changed. We have a part-time manager now for an indeterminate length of time, so there'll be it's a different money expenditure there. With a part-time manager, I don't think we're going to be able to act so aggressively on that ambitious list of goals. And so there
do you have a lesser recommendation or no, or a recommendation not to raise them at all?
I have a recommendation to not raise it at all and take a look at that.
I second that.
Well, it's not a...
you say the same thing.
Well, let me...
I
think we all ought to make a statement. And I'd like to start just by saying that I believe we totally, absolutely need to do this. Uh-huh. I think that we have a real valid reason in funding Lapine Industrial Group with this kind of money. We're going to see the benefits of it, and I'm convinced that it's worth doing.
Okay.
For that reason.
Do you have any comment?
Following with the council and past discussions, I would guess I would say yes to at least a certain amount, even if we don't go to the full. But
okay, just a point of order. All the council members are on the budget committee, correct?
Yes.
So everybody at this table has a vote.
No, we don't.
Except
no, we
you
don't
too.
Vote, but
except
I
you.
Probably
but
throws,
right. Mayor down.
Throws yeah. some in, input in at some point.
Okay, I'll entertain. Is there any more discussion?
Bob, you might hold off. I mean, normally, what you would do, you're going to go through what things you want to fund, which, you know, once you get your numbers, then you may come down to literally you want project X, project B, and in order to get both of those, we're short 5,000, and so someone's going to say, okay, I'll go up 3 cents. But some others say, you know, I want to hold it regardless. So it's a little odd that before you've talked about one item in the budget or seen one number, right, that you're already deciding how much you want to lower or change the budget. That is, at least from my perspective, wouldn't be a normal course.
That
would be the last question.
Yeah.
Then okay. You can, with information, make that decision.
Okay, we'll
so that's we'll, just, you've got a motion, and you've got, I just do that out.
We don't have a motion.
Okay.
we'll hold off on that one. Going to the second item. The part-time thing, the mayor is suggesting that...
Well, first off, can I read this out, Robert?
Sure.
I think I
can. Well, we don't need to read it.
No,
we've got it here.
Okay, we've got it here. We're not hiring anybody.
So
that's a no.
That's a non-issue. We'll get to a point where we'll talk later on about the amount that's going to fund the LED, but we're not really hiring anybody.
Well, the city isn't.
No,
Edco is.
We're funding the Lapine Industrial Program.
Do we strike that item?
Well, let me reframe it then, because truly we need to fund this position. And no, we're not hiring the person, but we're contributing to the person. We had the county's already made a pledge of $20,000 for 3 years, predicated on the city making a similar pledge for $20,000 for 3 years. So the real question is, does the budget committee want to assure that for a three-year period, there's a $20,000, there's a like contribution from the city? Okay, that's really what that's saying.
Now,
okay.
Can I ask, is this in the proposed budget, this money?
It is predicated on two things.
No, no. Is it in there?
Or possibly three.
Is it in there?
Number two?
Is it 20, is it 20,000 in the budget?
Yes, it's in there.
If we have sufficient money.
Right.
Okay.
But it's proposed in there.
It is proposed. We went ahead and put it in there with the presumption, two presumptions.
Then, when the committee goes through the line items, is where to ask those questions.
Okay, good.
How about if we jump to the numbers?
We'll skip over that, the 20K annually, or for this budget, until we get to the budget line item. Number three.
These are all related to the...
Yeah, that's why I had them all together. There's three or four up here in a row. And they're all kind of tied together.
I think we get to five where they're all tied together.
Yeah, and that'll just all come out when we...
Okay.
We go through the budget.
Look at all the budget figures.
So we're just deferring all of two through five.
Number six?
Number six.
Can I comment? In our present chart of accounts, we have a department which has some portions of the expenses that have gone to council. Basically, internet, IT, office supplies, meetings, travel, and conferences, things like that. It has been separated out if you look at our numbers and our chart of accounts. However, would we like to appropriate certain numbers, certain amounts of money to those line items? Is I think what we're asking here.
So what I hear you saying is, as you do your bookkeeping, mm-hmm. you have a set of accounts for different items that relate to the council, travel, training, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And here you're asking, do we want to use the budget to break that out into different line items?
Right. It's already appropriations for those kinds of expenses, correct?
Somewhat,
this would just be a further breakdown.
Well, that's my question. Is this something new? Where was this last year?
We didn't have it last year.
It's floating around in little different line items. We just kind of gobbled together.
So what he's saying is that we've had this in our budget. We have this in our budget from last year.
Where it was.
But it was just in different locations.
Right.
So they're saying, should we put that
yes.
in?
Okay. It would be in things like meetings, travel, schools, or memberships and subscriptions.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
it's already there. I don't think we need it any further detailed. Is that what you're asking, is if we want further detail?
Well, do we want to set amount?
What predicated this question?
More control over the expenditures, so to speak, so that we know exactly how much we're going to budget for, let's say, conferences. And we look at what the counselors and the mayor want to go to and decide how much that's going to be for the year and set it aside.
But we already have that.
But you already have that. It's just not
that detail. We already have line items.
That detail, I think, is just internal management.
Well, it is, but it just strengthens. It lets everybody know. It lets the public know how much money is being spent in a given line.
But we're telling them how much is being spent. We're just perhaps not saying we're appropriating money for the mayor to go for seminars this year, next year.
Can you break that out easily if someone walks in and wants to know mm-hmm. that particular mm-hmm. thing? I would mm-hmm. leave it that way.
Is there anybody on the budget committee that feels we need to do this?
I don't think we need to do it.
Anybody?
Actually.
Okay, strike that. We say no.
Okay.
But as a council, we could ask for that individually.
The public can
sure.
ask for it. And
yeah.
the
yes.
Oregon Department of Revenue cautions you against getting
too many.
Broken down too many line items.
Well, so, and again, it's a philosophy thing, too, though. Just because they caution against it doesn't mean it's wrong. And I got to tell you, every jurisdiction I've been in, there's a lot more detail. So
I would ask Rick. Are other municipalities breaking it out like this?
You know, I there probably are. You know, probably there's somebody that does everything. It would depend. I actually probably recommend against it. I think it allows a city to kind of play a game with you. You know, what you say, when it says council, I mean, you have a training budget, and you know, staff goes to training, and counselors go to some different trainings, and I think that's how you've done, Bob, in the past. It's up to the manager and then to kind of, if they've got someone getting out of line on that, but, you know, you can get, how many pages do you want this thing? And if one counselor, you know, the internet shows you some of the charges, I don't know, what do you put in there, what do you leave out?
I guess that's what I was wondering. So say we put $2,000 in there for training for the staff and everything. We know we've got that $2,000. We're not borrowing from this or that to fill in that. Correct.
It's a budget, and I think what the public is looking for is what did we spend against that line item versus what we budget. It appears as though the question is saying not only training budget, but training for maybe council members versus staff versus mayor versus...
mileage is a big one.
I don't know that you want to budget to that level. Although it could, she could put in a comment that $500 went for Mayor Kim's seminar.
Well, there is... the Department of Revenue has other forms, and they do have a detail sheet that you can use to break down your expenditures further. And so, you know, you could take like line number 17 on materials and services, where it says meetings, travel, and schools, and have that detail sheet and break that out into those three if you would like to.
There's two ways to budget. Use the LB30 or the LB31. The LB30 is the one we've included, and it speaks to the major categories. LB31 is for line item detail. When you get into line item detail, you're setting yourself up for a lot of supplemental budget revisions.
Variances.
That's why we go with the LB30, is because then we know we can... Very like material and services. They're not asking, okay, what's in that particular one? They're just looking at material and services. So if you go over 10% in one line item, but you stay within that parameter of what the total is, it doesn't matter to the Oregon State of Revenue.
Okay, yeah, I thought, unless they change it, that's the way, you know,
they change every year.
Water and sewer always used to do, and I thought that's what the LB31 did, was that you could take each one of these line items, say under materials and services, and break down any one of those line items further on the LB31. Is that it? Okay, well,
they've changed the LB31, though.
Well, we're still just asking a question.
Yeah. Well, but this is the question. Do we want to break it down further like that?
And no.
I think we said no.
Okay.
Let's move to number 7, about these two parcels. Mayor Kim?
Well, this is the city council for this. When you read the whole question, this is for the city council to decide. It's a policy issue, and
it's not in the budget then.
The assessment. I really don't want to read this question, but I can.
No, I can read it too.
I just think that this whole thing with this conveyance, this. And whether we pay it back over a 2 or 4 year period, or whether we pay it right now, I think we need to discuss this further, and I think that's something the city council ought to bring up at a council meeting to discuss. Are we going to pay it back? Sure, we're going to pay it back if we have to.
But I think the budget committee has to decide to put the $72,000 in the budget so you can pay it back. I guess that's why.
We already bought it? You know, is that what you're saying?
Well, we haven't. I mean, we haven't.
You're just budgeting the money to do this.
The county has budgeted $72,000 to pay this, and they're asking us to repay it, which means then that the budget committee has to decide to put $72,000 in the budget to repay it, either 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years. I think that's why the budget committee's involved, Mayor.
Okay, let me just say that a basic question could be, the city needs to allocate to this budget $20,000 toward the payment of this obligation.
Absolutely.
Okay, and the thing about, should the city go ahead and pay the sum now?
Okay.
No.
Okay.
And that's, now, you're right, $20,000.
Is that in the budget?
Is that any part of that?
Is it in the budget already?
It says it's in this year's budget.
Well, it's in this year's budget. And so...
Where is it in there, Steve?
Which one are we on?
Well, Lord have to say where it is.
So when we look at the budget itself, that the budget committee can say, whoa, what's this? Is there something different to do here? Can we change this from that?
Where do you put the $72,000 in the budget?
We are saving up for it.
Well, where is it regardless of the number?
It's in a reserve, probably in the general fund or in the street fund, because I, or public works fund, because I just had to give my budget away so we can make copies for you.
So that if my understanding of this, is the several hundred acres,
yeah,
which is because of the reason we got it was to put affluent and have it for sewer land. So most likely the bulk of that money should come out of the sewer fund.
Right.
Because that's where you're going to put your farm. So it shouldn't be in the road fund and it shouldn't be in the general fund. It would be in the sewer fund.
Yes.
And you could, the idea of maybe spending a couple years to pay for it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because you're probably not going to have to for another year, but it should come out of the sewer fund or a combination of something. But sewer should pay a bunch because that's where we're moving the sewer lagoons to, or the sewer fields. And that was the justification for getting the land trade, was sewer,
yep,
correct?
So, the question of this committee is whether or not we should recommend $20,000 for this year.
Well, for next year.
For next year's
right,
budget.
Or some others, because we allocated $20,000 for this year. And I think as soon as we agree to the promissory note, then we'll pay them the $20,000. But then we still have another obligation for $52,000, that being the remainder. And so the question is, for this next year, do you want to allocate some money toward that $52,000 remainder, and how much? And I would suggest at least $20,000. Seems to me that that's something that you should decide.
Quick, does this become a payable? Is that what a fund is?
It becomes a reserve.
A reserve. Okay.
And what happens with that reserve is that it does not get considered for budgetary items.
Okay.
And that's in the book.
So when we get to the budget items, we'll make a recommendation on what we budget for.
Okay.
Because if you have a reserve, you have to have a resource.
Okay.
And it basically is an in and out.
Okay. Your reserve doesn't go into your budget.
Question.
It goes in, but it also is a resource. Okay.
Question 8. The mayor has the same comment.
Okay, he's probably right there. There's really no budget. The question for the council then would be, if upon receipt of this land, we're going to turn it over to the library district and the park district, and there's costs, do they incur the costs or not?
And I thought the council had already decided that, had already made the comment about that.
I think,
but
we
that's
had,
true.
Well, but I don't think we've made it in a broad base. I'm just looking, because if the council or the budget committee, whoever, decides that they shouldn't, then where we need to come in as staff is to put some money in the budget for that. Probably easily going to be $5,000 or $10,000.
Do we know if money's been proposed in next year's budget?
We did put in with a promise that that those entities would pay whatever the cost would be, but without knowing for sure, I just thought we'd better ask the question.
Okay, and the question is, does the budget committee agree that the district should assume the cost? It's not up to the budget committee. It's up to the council. Council decide whether we should force the the districts to assume that cost.
Yeah, I agree. That's like a policy and administrative
It's a policy decision.
Well, it's financial decision in this regard.
Right, and it is, but that should be in the budget or not, and then the budget committee helps decide how, you know, if we think you did a good job of distributing the funds and how we're going to pay for things and throw out something, advice to throw out something.
When we get to that line item, we'll address that.
Okay, good, because right now the city, the staff is saying we're not going to put any money in there for that.
I was trying not to swear.
This number nine, I didn't quite understand when I read it.
I wrote on my notes.
Go ahead, Mayor.
Well.
Mayor Ken.
Just that, you know, this is another area of the council. I mean, you know, this is subjective at the very best. And I'm not confident that the rate study used, there's no doubt that the rate study used old data. And I'm not confident that the presentation that we got is with the kind of data that we can make a decision about this right now.
Well, this statement here doesn't tell me that shortfall is for this year, next year, or the next 4 years.
Well, let me just real quickly tell you that we have a shortfall, that we have about $500,000. We need more than $600,000 just to pay for upcoming water issues. And the 1250 would be helpful over a two-year period to that. If it was 625, which is half of that this year, times the number of accounts we have, about 1,400
accounts. Why is there a shortfall? Is there a
But let me make one comment first, Renee. The fact that we have a shortfall and what we're going to do about that is up to the council. Us knowing or talking about this right now will have nothing to do with whether we approve a shortfall or not.
I think what we would be concerned about here is if the council had decided it needed to budget some money next year to address specific items. I agree with you.
Okay, let me say this, that we have specific items next year that need attention.
And are they in the proposed budget?
Yeah, they're in the proposed budget, but it's predicated on half of this rate increase. If there's no rate increase, then we have to deduct $105,000 from budgeted items that are necessary.
Well, first of all, we need to know if a rate increase is necessary in this budget year, and if so, how much.
There
Otherwise,
you go.
We can't decide.
Where
we can't
is
make
it
a
in the budget? Yes. Maybe you shouldn't have went union.
Say what?
Okay, well, it's
number 10.
I know.
Is that a budget?
Okay, are we going to come?
Oh, we're going to look at.
Do we even? I'm sorry.
Number nine, we're going to look at specific items that they propose in this budget to address the shortfalls. And as a result of that, I guess you would determine whether you need a rate increase. We got to get moving, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I guess so.
The charges for EFT, is that a
No.
No.
It's if we're going to install that, if we're going to implement that program at all, and if we're going to decide whether we charge it to the customer or the city absorbs it, is a council decision.
Okay, well, it is, but when does the staff get the council decision? Because I need that decision for the budget.
It's a dollar insurance.
What do you need that for the budget?
Because if we're going to do it ourselves.
That's cheap.
And it's a dollar.
Wow.
So we're going to eat a dollar on every utility account. Then I've got to subtract a dollar from each transaction and forecast how much that is.
Wow.
So that we won't have that much money. We know how much money we have.
Don't let them pay that way.
Okay.
Just don't let them pay that way.
And or don't pay that way.
Wouldn't you put it in your rate structure at some point?
Yeah.
Rather than an additional fee.
Well, that's what they're asking what's being asked here, and Ken's saying that's a council decision, which it is. It's an interim, you know, it's a council administrative decision.
But we're not here to do a rate structure.
Right.
I think if we get to that point, the council will decide whether to increase the rates or increase, pass that on to the rate payers.
I would presume it's part of your rate structure.
It should be.
It could be, yeah. Or I guess you could just say, yeah, you got to pay a buck for doing this.
It's a cost of doing business. Wow. And
this, you've got a two, basically, a million dollar, pick your number, of water budget, and if 100 people a month did it, none do it now, 100 people a month is $1,200 a year, which you can do the math on $1 million, your time is probably better spent, you know, I mean, that's minutia. That's kind of like deciding if you go buy a ring of paper. The city will ultimately figure, you're going to have EFT and people paying with Visa. Everybody pays with debit cards.
It is the cost.
It's a service. Ashley told me yesterday. She says it's the number one thing people ask about. That's a no-brainer. Sometime in the next year, you're going to be taking debit cards, Visa cards, and
whether you like it or not,
that's
we do it.
Life.
Okay.
Whether it's a dollar or 2% or.
My comment is just that the council will figure that out.
Okay. Number 11. I need some comments.
Well,
I
mean,
license.
Yeah, it is.
This is whether we establish a business license or not. We don't even know that we're going to do that yet. The council hasn't taken a position on that.
I thought the budget, I thought we did.
Yes, we did.
It's one of our 13 priorities for next year.
Okay, that is right. Okay. That is right. We decided that one of our, but I also think that he's made some very logical comments about with a pullback of what we're going to get accomplished this year. But anyway, any other comments?
I wouldn't put as a revenue source. If you put this in as a revenue source, you haven't even started to talk about it. To get a business license, you have to have kind of we did almost with the charter. You're going to have people with the chamber on board, the business community on board. It'll take you months to work that out and then adopt it and then implement it. You have to come up with a system and a billing system, and it would be, if you vote on it in the next 2 or 3 months, you wouldn't make it effective until July 1 the following year. Because by the time you get this out there, you literally could be this time next year.
The only thing we did on the council was, because that was going back and forth between Tony, was we agreed that it's a good thing to have a business. Just register you have a business, whether it's $5 or whatever. We didn't go into, correct, Stu, yearly, because that was Stu's concern, too. So all we did is say, yes, we'd like everybody to register.
Sure. And that's appropriate to say it's something you want to work on, but how much did you put into this budget? Is it $50 a business, $10 a business? How many businesses do you have?
Yeah.
So we're going to go on to number 12.
Okay.
This has no place in the budget. Any pay increase or cost of living adjustments for staff, we have no idea about that. And that would be up to the council and the labor attorney to decide at some point in time.
I guess if there's a line item in the proposed budget, we would comment on it.
Right.
So there's no line item on that?
We don't know yet, but we'll get to it.
Do we work? Okay. Assuming there is.
No, I don't think we budgeted. Correct me if I'm wrong, Lori, but we didn't budget anything.
Right.
And we just wanted to confirm that.
But you do have.
Yeah, we have salaries.
Yes, the standard salary for last year, I think, is all it is. Continuing. Okay.
The cell tower?
Yeah, I thought we talked
about that. The council has already said, no, not at this time.
I thought we had talked.
Well, we said last year, Mayor, that we would revisit it this year.
We'll have the council revisit it, but
I get one question, or Are we getting revenue from this?
Yes.
And is that revenue in the budget?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I said no on that.
Number 14. The mayor has no comment on number 14. $10,000 for community events. You know, this isn't, in my opinion, another instance where we want to be a little bit careful about micromanaging and the implications it has on both administering it.
Yeah.
And what if you, down the line, you needed a little bit more money for one bucket or the other under that umbrella? So is there any...
Well, I think what the budget committee looks at is that line item. Do we think $10,000 is too much, not enough, or just right?
Right. Rather than do we want $7,000 here and $3,000 there?
I like the way they have it here, the two separate funds, actually.
Well, what prompted this is, if you recall during our priority meeting where there was a considerable debate whether the big ticket items should have their own fund,
yeah,
or whether the little guys should have their own fund, so that there'd be some equity back and forth.
Yeah.
Okay, well, why don't we ask this committee to weigh in and give the council some decision there?
Yeah.
That's all.
So it'd be like the recommendation of this to the city.
Right now, the proposed budget has it in one fund.
Yep.
One fund.
It's in a bucket.
Yeah.
So we probably need to suggest it be divided, because I agree with that.
If the city council wants something else, then they can do that. Number 15.
So what's the cutoff for the small fund and the large fund?
This has, the mayor is suggesting this goes beyond our budget year. Is that accurate?
Well, I think that, you know, we will get to pay the $30,000 toward this STIP grant. And does the committee believe we should set aside $10,000 a year for the next 3 years? I think we're I think we need to be careful about obligating. I mean, $10,000 this year, sure. But I think we ought to be careful about obligating the new council and a new budget committee.
Can you remind me what the STIP grant is, please?
Steve.
Yeah, it
just
is
real
a...
quick.
Let me tell you exactly what the name stands for.
Quick fix, isn't it?
No. It is an Oregon statewide transportation improvement grant. And we got one this year for out here in front of the city hall we're getting ready to do. And then also we applied for another one for $680,000, which looks like we're going to probably get. We'll find out in August. But the city's matching share of that, if we get it, is 4%, which works out to about $30,000. So then the question on the table was, is it prudent to budget some money each year for the next 3 years? Because this won't, if the grant is approved this in August, it won't come in until 2016.
Gotcha.
So do we take care of it in 2016, or do we allocate a little bit of money each year for 3 years so that we don't have a big ticket hit in any given year?
Okay.
All right.
I think for this year it's probably a very logical idea that we do that.
Yes. And is that in
the budget? And it is.
It's in the budget, so we can...
Okay.
It's on
number 16.
Five.
Youth activities.
It's in the budget. $12,500.
And this okay. is another question about, should we do
youth programs?
Break that apart.
I'll just make my comment at this point that there's $5,000 toward the BMX track that's not been spent for this year. You know, that could be a carryover item. But the $7,500, we're very close to the Park and Rec is taking this to the board. This YES program, the $7,500 was designed to implement a youth employment service in the city. And the idea of that youth employment service would be for high school students.
Okay, is the money in there?
Yes.
But they're wanting to combine it, according to this question, to do something else with it next year.
No, you don't combine.
Okay.
And let's do what we set out.
It's combined.
It's combined now.
And it can be broken back out. Not a big deal.
Okay. So when we get to that item, we'll make a recommendation of which way to go. Number 17.
This is a nasty one.
It's in the budget.
It's in the budget for what?
Storm.
Our flooding waters are streets that are.
There is an item in the budget.
Right. If you recall, on our priorities this year, we had 13, and two of them were stormwater.
Yeah.
And the question was, well, you know, both these stormwater issues are on Huntington Road. They're county issues. The county is obligated to pay for this. However, is it the city's best interest to contribute a little bit of money toward these improvements to assure that the county, as it gets around to taking care of things, takes care of these next year? So we put $5,000 for the 3rd and Huntington ponding issue and $5,000 for the post office ponding issue in the budget to help facilitate a positive outcome. The question is there agreement with that action?
Okay. When we get to the budget, we'll.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Back on the budget.
18.
We not.
Sidewalks.
It's in the budget.
It's in the budget. We'll defer that.
It's in the budget.
Both the sidewalks are in the budget.
Okay. 19, same. 20.
It's in there.
It's in there, same. 21.
It's in there.
22.
This was more of a policy issue.
Wiki Up Station, SDC money. It's badly
needed. Where is that at, by the by? What is a lip station?
Down by Wiki Up Station.
Listen to me. Are you talking about Burgess and 97?
Yeah.
In front of the junction?
Yeah.
The place where people stop, they park their cars, they go to the bend or wherever.
There's a place.
That's called a lift station.
And what it does is it lifts water, affluent waters.
No, does it really?
Yes.
Yes.
There's a pump there somewhere?
It has to pump it back up to the sewer.
I've never pulled down in there. I don't know. Yes. So.
It's just a big pump that
and
takes
it's ours?
Sewer water and pumps it back to the sewer treatment plant.
So it's just inside the city, right?
Yeah. Well, it's in Cagle. I mean, it's very much in the city.
The question here is, I presume there's something in the proposed budget that for money to...
$300,000.
No, it's to get an evaluation done. Engineering services, is that correct?
And it's a sewer budget item.
And it's in the budget.
Okay.
It's being paid out of SDCs.
And it's just for the study. No. For our.
No, it's going to happen.
It's got to.
We have
it's
a failing.
But we're budgeting for an engineering study.
And the whatever the engineering study costs.
Oh, okay. And that's both in the both of those are in the budget.
Right. The engineering cost is in the water budget, and also the lift station replacement for future expansion is in the water budget, taking out of SDC money.
Okay.
Is this the water y'all
sewer.
Drink?
Sewer.
If,
huh?
Effluent.
Is this the water y'all drink?
No.
Okay.
Well.
Clean water.
I'm so confused about that.
Sewer this water. Is what's in this bottle.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 23. With these facts, we aren't, don't we have measures that prevent reallocation of certain monies?
Water and sewer, here we go. Same problem.
City manager Steve, are you concerned that some money could get reallocated here?
I want to make sure it doesn't get. I just want to make sure that because there's these huge fund reserves there, and those fund reserves there are there in part to meet USDA obligations we need to retain stuff. And it's real easy when you have a lot of money, and I'm not looking necessarily at council or anybody, but just human nature. You have a lot of money in reserve, there's all kinds of devices to figure out how to spend some of that money for other purposes. And I just want to say out loud, and I wanted more in here as a message, that there should be a real conscientious effort on the part of the city to ensure that those monies are not touched. If anything, there's more contributions to them.
I would say I could speak for the committee in agreeing with that.
Yes, treat that as information.
I don't know that we can go beyond that assurance. And the last one, I think.
No, there's a couple more.
Oh, no, 24 on this page, last one on this page.
The item 24 here is, I've never heard anything about this.
Are we
running? The city council has not even heard, has worked through this in a work session?
My first question is, are we also considering selling it? But.
I think this is something that needs to come before the city council.
Is it being rented now?
I think it's being used as nonprofit.
Is a revenue line item on the budget?
Wait a minute. It's being used, and it's charged like a minimal amount for Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous meetings. And they've been doing that over at the water and sewer for
years.
Yeah.
So we get a small revenue stream that's in the budget?
Well, it's in the total of all things like miscellaneous income, but it's not really a rental.
Was that ever approved by the council?
No.
And again, that's why I brought it up, is if you haven't heard this before, I just became aware of it the other day, and I thought, well, this is the place to start deciding
the
these
committee
things.
Will defer that to the council.
Okay.
Daniel?
Yes.
Okay.
Number 24.
That's part of the goal session.
We have 8.
Is that in the budget already?
8 street lights have been budgeted for 40,000.
Is this 6? Is this 24,000 put in budget?
There's 2 sums there. This year is 40,000, next year is 24.
Right.
And okay. I looked to Lori, did we put for both in there?
We have 40,000 budgeted.
Okay, then essentially what we're saying is of the 14, we've only got 8 of them budgeted for next year.
Because that's what you told me.
Okay.
So we need this 24 in there?
So we would need to add 24 to get 14.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. I think we've agreed to that already.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So we need to increase it to 20, yeah. Or by 24.
And just because it was a big ticket item, I thought, well, we better just reaffirm that we want to spend 64,000 or thereabouts for 14 streetlights this next year.
Item 26, we're going to wait until we go through the budget. I think we have just about 25 minutes.
I think I'd like to just point out that when we get to some point in time, we ought to talk about flagpoles, but that's a minor item.
This is page 1.
I'd also like
it's
to...
It's been updated. Something got left off of page 1, so I'm going to be giving you a new page 1. Page 1. Page 1.
This is page
1.
I guess. Yes.
In the to conserve time, may I request that you
run through this?
This next.
In 25 minutes? Okay, I'll talk fast.
You can do it faster than me, I guarantee you.
Yeah, because I've been working with these numbers. All right, so you've got a new page 1.
Just before you go start, what happens if we don't get through this? Do we
have another meeting?
We're having another meeting.
Is that part of the second budget meeting?
Yes, because we're going to have to do an update anyway with some of the things that we've budgeted for and the changes that you all want to see. The new columns will move over to the second column on these sheets, the LB20s, 30s, and 10s. Okay, page 1, this is the resources for the general fund. Details may be in the back. I'll guide you through those if I can. So we're starting out with $173,000 in our bucket of money.
Where do you see that number?
At the very top on page one.
Proposed budget by budget office.
Far right top.
Okay. And we estimated we'd get about $15,000 for taxes. The transfer is from the tourism, the 30% coming in. That's 30% of the total from tourism. Franchise fees, in the back, there is a breakdown for about the last 5 years for franchise fees. You can look at that in detail, but I'm predicting around $200,000, and that's being conservative. Regulatory fees are LOCC, which is liquor license renewals. Shared revenue, that consists of liquor, cigarette, what we call shared revenue from the state. Those three items make up the 43.9.
Highway.
And far.
Highway goes to the public works or street fund. Right. It does not get included in the general fund. We put in a $5,000 recreation related grant. We may get something like that. We may not. It's always best to at least include it. The same with the land use tag. We have budgeted that for the last couple of years. And sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. The rental is from the Edward Jones, and we had a rate increase, so we're getting a little bit more there. SDCs is only an estimate if we have any type of SDCs for the city and the general fund. Capital Reserve Fund is something that we put in as a resource, but it comes back out as a requirement. So you have to show both. If you have a refund or resource, you have to have a if you have a reserve, you have to have a resource. So on page three, there is the reserve. And we're predicting that we need to just save a little bit of money, put aside a capital reserve fund. And that's something, if you guys don't want it, we can always take it out. Estimated taxes, there's a worksheet in the back that predicts what Scott Langton was talking about.
Where are you now? Where are you?
I'm still on page one.
Line 30.
And in the back on page 14, we're on page one, Renee, on line 30. Taxes of 222.53, and page 14 tells us what we're predicting to get in revenue from our property taxes.
Okay.
That's figured at $1.98?
It is figured at $1.98. If you go to $1.90, it'll be about $10,000 less. Okay. And if you do anything in between, then you can kind of play with that figure. Okay, so those are the resources, and we have $854,929 on page two. Page two may not look like page two. We have personnel services, and in the very back on page 29, there is a very detailed sheet of all of the wages for everyone in this organization and a breakdown of how much they make an hour, their annual, how much it costs for health and vision, dental, basic life, long-term disability, what we contribute to retirement, all of the payroll taxes associated with everything. So there's a breakdown. We've predicted percentages based on time, overtime, how much we're going to allocate to the general fund, to the street fund, to the water department, and to the sewer department. And those should flow through everything in this packet.
I'm having trouble with these numbers. Mine are cut off, so.
Okay.
Where is this?
29 is the long sheet in the very back.
The long sheet in the very back.
I guess my question here is, we're reducing our staffing. This is less money than we've spent the previous 2 years.
Well, yeah.
So we're reducing hours or something?
Well, is some of this allocated over to water, over to...
Yeah, we've reallocated our percentage of time.
Thank you.
So if you look at a full EFT, we have like 1.86 EFT assigned to it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So personnel, advertising, I didn't change from last year. Contractual services, you can find all the contractual services on page. Let me get there and tell you. There's too many papers.
Yeah.
There's a lot. On page 28, it's the one before the long sheet. And here we have all kinds of contractual services for operations and for land use planning and code enforcement and miscellaneous. So contractual is $85,000 plus the $87,900 on page 28.
Got it.
So that goes into that line on number 12, page 2.
Line 12, page 2.
Line 12, page 2, comes from line 28.
Okay, so this is just your own, or is this
that's
in
my
lieu
own.
Of the LB 31, that this you've broken this down?
Well, yeah, just way. So that you
yeah.
see everything.
I like seeing that.
Yeah, we did it last year like this,
yeah.
and Rick did it the year before, mm-hmm. so I've just
yeah.
kind of adopted it,
because
it really shows where everything's going.
Yeah.
Next.
Put a lot
of okay. Insurance, surety bonds, IT, legal, I went high because we have a labor attorney we may be using.
Also, we went high because we need to, the sewer and the water, when we brought them over here, they worked off a whole different set of Oregon laws, and so a lot of the sewer and water is going to have to be revamped to be in keeping with city, municipal, sewer and water regulations.
Okay, and we can move that around if you want. Meetings, memberships, again, some of that is broken down on page 28 with the detail of what, you know, we might think about as far as memberships and things that are going out the door. So
we've got meetings, travel, schools on line 17. Then we got memberships and subscriptions.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
And
well, I just wanted to make sure that we had covered our basis.
Mm-hmm.
You can always move it around or propose something different.
Number 19.
Miscellaneous?
I'm a little leery of miscellaneous.
I don't like miscellaneous either, but it gives
like
you a cushion
okay.
in that whole material and services category. So if you need a little extra, at least it's in that whole line item. And you can see in 11 and 12, we only spent $1,000 under miscellaneous. And we proposed $12,000 last year. But we haven't really, I don't think I even used miscellaneous in my accounting. Because I don't like it.
So as we spend this money, it would probably go into one of the other buckets.
Could be, if it even gets spent. Office supplies, telephone, these are all pretty close to what we've actually budgeted from the prior year. Debt service, that is a firm number. That is off of our...
Where's debt service?
Number 24.
Well... Okay.
And that has an amortization schedule tied to it, so we know that's what we're going to spend.
Wow.
And then community sponsorship donations, that is high compared to what you're going to find on line 28, or page 28. 28 is going to say, here you've got $10,000 for community sponsored events. But then we've also got irrigation that we committed to on page 28 for Findlay Butte and Bimart Water irrigation.
What are we doing there? Oh, can you ask?
For Bimart?
Yeah.
We planted a beautification project that was donated a lot of time and effort and products from the community.
Really?
And we, I think the council went ahead and approved water irrigation for that.
Really?
It's not very much.
And they got it all for $250?
That's just the irrigation.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We already spent money for the water project this year.
This wasn't in the budget for last year for Bywarn, that's for sure.
No, but we put it in this year. Because it was just done this year.
Oh, but it has been done.
It was money spent and approved by the council. It was not in the budget.
But it's not in the budget. And now you're putting it in the budget.
Just for costs, for considerations. And then the Finley Butte irrigation, we committed to October of 2016, I believe, to do that. And that is in council meeting commitments. So that's where you get the $14,450.
Okay, the irrigation, though, shouldn't that come from the water fund?
Yeah.
It could.
Well, it should. I mean, it's water. That's a direct expense.
Well, I saw it as a donation.
It's a donation.
Well, yeah, but water and sewer districts have made donations in the past.
I agree.
And that's the only way you can accurately reflect what your costs are to running those utilities.
Okay, we can move it there.
Okay.
So I'll say move that to water fund.
Okay.
For Finley Butte and Weimar. See, that's just why we're doing this. You guys get to choose.
So you're going to adjust something else?
No?
You're going to adjust something else?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll...
You got a comment?
Doesn't matter.
Page 3 pretty much covered that. The Capital Reserve Fund and then operating contingency with unappropriated ending fund balance, which is a projection of what's going to be left over. Any questions on the general fund?
I am going to have to go home and look over all of this.
Okay, come back. Come on.
The beautification project. So if we move that into water, will that be identified as a donation?
It would be.
Or will it just be incorporated and we don't realize that that's a donation in 10 years that we've agreed to do that as a donation?
Personally, I took it upon myself to call it a community sponsorship since it was, you know, kind of like goodwill.
Right.
You know, the council's doing goodwill. So it could stay that way so that you always have it identified as a sponsorship.
Well, I think it needs to be shown that it's something that they're not just using typically, that the council, the city is donating. I would think that's important.
I thought we were going to get some kind of agreement between, a written agreement between Park and Rec and the council for this donation.
Mr. Mayor, what? We have such a thing.
Okay.
There's a letter written up that enumerates what the council committed.
Okay.
We made one commitment for water. We made another commitment for meter size. And we made a third commitment that says, we might look at helping you other ways. Okay?
So, and I think this speaks to, this. We have an agreement.
And that'll always be there.
And it'll always be there. So to break that down in here in some fashion makes it laborious, and this is not really designed for that. But we do have the agreement.
Okay. Okay. Any more questions on the general fund?
So 854,929 will stay as the
yeah, because I'll just adjust unappropriated ending fund balance.
Yeah.
Line 51 will change. So it'll go up by $4,000-something from page 28. Okay. Because that's the only thing I see as you all saying you want to get moved over. So that's the $44.50.
That will go down?
It'll go up.
It'll go up.
Line 51, add $44.50. And change line 29 to $10,000. That's the change we're making.
Line which?
30.
Line 30.
Line 30.
Oh, 30. Go up 10,000?
No, it's a total, line 30 is 10,000.
Not 14,450?
Right. And line 51, or on the next, well, there'll be something here that goes up 4,450 to...
Line 51.
Yeah, line 51.
Unless you want to spend more money out of there.
Now, is there any more discussion that we need on the general fund? Can the budget committee at this time approve this portion of the budget?
I can. I need to have time to review it. And I think it's going to change in the next few weeks anyway.
Okay, well, let's just go on.
No, we're out of time.
Oh, we're out of time.
And I'd like to, just before we adjourn, make a comment that meeting schedules, when the budget committee meets, you should block out the rest of that day so that we're not interrupted, so we can continue our meeting if we have to. I don't know who scheduled this 4 o'clock meeting, but... No, to go till 4 o'clock. This is, you know, the council chambers. We need to be able to do our business for as long as we need to do our business. Okay, I'm done.
Next meeting is scheduled for April 30th at 6?
At 6 o'clock.
Oh.
That way Tammy, you know, I mean, not that way, but they're all...
We can't do it earlier.
Well, and again, who can make it, can make it.
Yeah. See, we have another member who can't make it because she
works
at principal of one of the high schools, or the schools here in town. She can't make a day meeting.
Just like she couldn't be here today.
The 24th is the day in particular that you can't, not the time.
The 30th is it.
The 30th, particularly that day, it's not the time.
Well, that's already noted.
Oh, that's already...
Some of it, I think.
Well, we've already changed this thing.
Well, it's already noticed too, by the way.
This has been number...
It's already noticed.
In the bulletin.
In the bulletin and everything. So I think Steve's comments are right, that who can make it, can make it, you know.
Oh, I'm here.
Oh, okay, good.
I was just wondering if we could start earlier.
I know, I don't blame you.
We run over all the time.
It's not been noticed.
But I don't know if it's...
It's not time.
If it's public's invited, I don't know that we could do that.
On a weekend, you can.
Well, is the meeting on the 30th not been noticed?
No, it's not required to be noticed yet.
It doesn't have the same, the second meeting doesn't have...
Right, doesn't have the same notice requirements as the first.
You can set what you want.
You can change that, yeah.
Huh?
You can kind of set it.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to start at 5 that day, or 4, you mean, you can...
Or 2, or 3.
Well, I think we could still change the day even, because of how...
I don't know.
I think you could change the day, but, yeah, I mean, I don't...
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we want to look into that, Mr. Mayor?
Well, there's no harm in looking into it, as long as staff will notify and check with everybody as best day.
Probably you need to pick it here, what the next one is.
Yeah.
Well, they need to check their calendar, they have meetings to make sure the room isn't taken.
The 30th works for me. Who?
The 30th.
Who doesn't the 30th work for?
Renee, it doesn't work for Renee, the 30th, but it works for Tammy...
Doty.
Doty.
And she's who? She's one of you guys?
She's the principal of...
No, you're one of us.
Maybe if we were to buy the...
Send me her call.
It wouldn't make any difference, she still can't make it.
Not a city councilor.
Have a tech amenity in here before 6.
She's not on the budget committee.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, she is. Oh, she isn't here today.
She's not here today.
Do you meet every Tuesday?
Because she's teaching.
Habitat for Humanity?
She's a principal at one of the grade schools.
Well, have it on the weekend then.
Would starting this at 5 on the 30th bother anybody?
I won't be here.
Well, she's not going to be here anyway.
I'm sorry, will you say that?
One person speak at a time.
Would starting, our next meeting's on the 30th.
Yes.
Would starting it at 5 be difficult for you?
Me?
No.
Anybody here? There's no other meetings that day?
I
Would you guys, do you think it's worth it?
Check the calendar, Patty.
I mean, if we start at six, we might not be out here until 9 or 10.
The thing about it is it happens to be a fifth Tuesday of the month, and there's no meetings generally in a rotation like that. So is 5 o'clock okay with everybody?
Would she be able to get out of school, say, even if we did four?
She's fine for five.
No, she won't be able to do four.
But she could do five.
I'm assuming she can do five.
Or be a little bit late.
Or be a little bit late.
I think she can. She emailed me and said five or later.
Okay.
And weekends, too.
Okay.
Would Jude make that happen, please?
Are you wanting to, I'm sorry, may I speak?
You.
Thank you. Wouldn't you like to be able to attend the, I'm still back on this thing of maybe changing the day.
Well, yes, of course.
And starting it at 5 or 6.
But do we know what day the other person would, I mean, if we change a day?
Well, you just go through the whole process, staff goes through.
No, she can make weekends.
So let's do a weekend.
The whole process again.
Weekends are, you know.
Nope.
I'm gonna tell you, I can't do weekends.
You can.
Nope, neither can I.
There, you have to bend.
We bend enough already.
I would make a motion to leave it on the 30th and move it to 5 o'clock.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Carried.
You're opposed.
Adjourned.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
4 minutes.
Not bad.
Okay.
My dad went out and talked to him.
Good.